What you believe is everything. Everyone functions out of their theology, for better or for worse. The disciples had this core belief. He existed, he lived, he went to the cross, he died, he rose from the grave, and check it out, more than 500 people hung out with him. I ate fish tacos with him. I talked to him. We hung out. We went to the lake together. I hung out with him at that house. I know he's alive. And that very belief that they had inside of them propelled them to live for the gospel, for the purpose of God, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. Everything else became secondary in their life. Have you ever believed something that just gets a hold of you and nothing else matters? That's what happened. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. Well, thank you, all of you who took time off of work to just love on others. This is a great crowd, guys. I wasn't sure with the 11 o'clock game, but thank you for being at church. You're in the right place. I'm excited about this message, guys. I'll tell you, the Lord worked inside of my heart during the night. Have you ever had God work on your heart during the night? And that's what he did for me. On Friday, we had an amazing worship night on Friday night. How many of you are here? That was crazy. I felt like the lid just popped right off, and we're learning what it means to live in the Holy Spirit and to worship in the Holy Spirit, and we're just learning what that means, and hallelujah for that. But I showed up on Friday as the pastor. I'm always the pastor. The Lord just called me to do this thing. But I was the one who was down. Have you ever been in a service where you like need encouragement? That's where I was at. And on Friday night, I was watching everybody worship, and people, we had a whole open space right here. It was like the dance floor. And if people were jumping and dancing, and someone was doing somersaults, all kinds of crazy stuff was happening. And my soul was encouraged. So your worship encouraged me. So thank you for being a part of that. Every time we worship at church, I love worship. We have an amazing worship team, and it's just beautiful to worship God. It's beautiful to say, okay, this is who we are. This is what we believe. Even as we saw that video right there, I'm thinking all of us have been changed by Jesus. That's what we all need, the grace of God. That's what we have in common. We all need the grace of God. We're all working through stuff. But we run into this person named Jesus that has changed everything. So if you're here at church for the first time, welcome. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank those of you who are serving. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving. Many of you have chosen to honor God with your finances. That's a big step of faith and maturity. Grace and I have been doing this for a long time. And it's called, you know, tithing is what the church word is, where you honor God with the full 10%. And you honor God. So thank you so much. This church, nor any church, can really go forward without that kind of commitment. On October 18 and 19, we have a special offering that we'll be taking up called Love the House. The name of the sermon that weekend is Love the House as well. But this special offering is going to be above and beyond any regular giving. So don't take your regular giving and put it to Love the House. It's got to be separate, because then otherwise it'll hurt the church. But this money is going to go to our future building. That's where it's going. So we have a property that we own on Washington, 15 acres between 136th and 144th, premier land. And we've been working for about the last 10 months, maybe it's been a year, on working towards the goal of building. And it's not just about a house, guys. It's way more than that. It's about people. It's about people coming to know Jesus and coming alongside and becoming a hub in North Denver for people to know Jesus. So that's what it's all about. So please attend church that weekend. And what I'm asking everyone to do is pray. Can you just pray and ask God what he wants you to give? Grace and I are doing the same thing. Somebody asked me, do I have a number in mind? And really, the only thing I have in mind is the Holy Spirit moving in you. I want you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit moving in you, whatever it is. So please be a part of it. It's going to be good. So we are in this series called The Early Church. And we've been looking at literally the early church and looking at the characteristics of that early church. You read about the early church, really, it's birthed in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came down on about 120 people. The Holy Spirit comes down. Jesus, it literally means, Pentecost means 50 days. So this happens 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. So 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes down on these people, 120 or so, and their lives are changed, and they're changed, and their priorities are changed, and everything is different for these people. When the Holy Spirit falls down on you, you're a different person. When you allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life, you're a different person. And so I want to just, I read this last service, and I think I'm going to read the message of Simon Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is not on the screen. This is just free. Peter said this, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Simon Peter preaches this lights out message. I mean, lights out. And he tells everyone, here's what you got to do. You got to turn to God. You got to repent of your sins. And if you repent of your sins, that means a change of mind. That's like I was going this way, but now God's got a hold of me and I'm going to live for God now. I used to live like this. I used to be about me and I used to do things that were evil and all these things, but I'm going to repent of those things. And I recognize now there's a living God. I recognize there's a God who loves me. I recognize that there's a God who wants my life and I want everything he has for me. And I'm going to live for Jesus now. I'm no longer going to live for myself. So that's called repentance, a change of mind. So even as I say that, for some of you, you receive it, and others of you, you may not. But here's my prayer. My prayer today is that you come to know Jesus. My prayer today is you look at God's word in a way that you didn't when you first came into these doors. My prayer today is you fall in love with God. You fall in love with Jesus. You fall in love with his plan for your life. That's my prayer. This new community, I'm going to focus on one verse today, Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read verse 42, Ezra. It says this, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." Now, there's this one part in this whole passage. You can read the whole passage on your own time. But it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, everything they did was fueled by their beliefs. Everything was fueled by their beliefs. So I'm going to start off this message by asking you a question. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about mercy and grace and love? What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? What do you believe about this book right here, the Bible? What do you believe about the church? What do you believe? What do you believe? Your belief is everything, what you believe. These apostles did crazy things because they believed. In fact, Sean McDowell, the son of Josh McDowell, if you know that name, he said this, "Even though they were crucified, stoned, stabbed, dragged, skinned, and burned, every last apostle of Jesus proclaimed his resurrection until his dying breath, refusing to recant under pressure from the authorities. Therefore, their testimony is trustworthy, and the resurrection is true." So these early Christians, they had this holy conviction. You know what that feels like? Do you have a holy conviction? This belief that it's like ride or die, I believe this. I believe this with all my heart, and this belief is manifested in my life. They were students. Today, the title of the message is Increasing Knowledge. I look at that title and I think, I could have done better than that. But at the time, that's what came to my head, Increasing Knowledge. And we're focusing on the disciples and their beliefs because our belief system is so, so important. Sam Storms said this, "Everyone is a theologian whether or not they consciously identify themselves as such. What's a theologian? The word theology means the study of God. Okay? Everyone is a theologian, whether you identify yourself as such. The only choice you have is whether your theology will be a good one or a bad one. So we all came to church today with a box of beliefs. So just hang with me a little bit, guys. Hang with me. We're gonna ride in somewhere here. And this theology that we have shapes us, and it affects our decision-making. So let me just throw some questions out. I mean, is there, you don't have to answer out loud, although you may want to, is there a God? And does this God care about the way you live? Does this God care about the words you say? Does this God care about, and let me just throw it out, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? Is it possible to be a Christian and not go to church? Is it possible to be a good person and not be a Christian? Is it possible to be a Christian and not serve? Is it possible to be a Christian and not give and not honor him with my finances? Is it possible to be a Christian and not forgive? Is that going to keep me out of heaven? If I don't forgive someone, am I still going to heaven? You know, what does that look like? You know, will I have a mansion in heaven and not be with them? Or is God going to put them right next to my mansion? And what is that going to be like? Is it possible to be a Christian and not spend any time reading the Bible? Is it possible to be a good person and not like have a relationship with God? Is it possible to live life in a way that pleases God all the time? Does God really care about my relationships? Does God care about who I hook up with? Does God care about the things I put in my body? Does God care about my body? Does God care about my thought life? All of these things shape us, and we make these decisions in our life based on our beliefs. All of us, for better or for worse. All of us do. When you look at the early church, they had a core of beliefs that drove everything they did. I mean, they were over the top passionate about these core of beliefs. So much so, they were willing to die for their beliefs. What do you believe? What do you believe? T.D. Jakes said, "You are no stronger than your belief system." I love that. Because we have a core of beliefs that we subscribe to. And they're really ours. And you know what I've discovered is the older you get, the harder you hold on to it. That's what I've discovered. I've discovered at some point in our life we're maybe a little more open, but as we get older, we become more closed about it. But these beliefs that we have is our set of principles. It's our code. It's our core values. It's our ideologies. And it's what shapes us. John chapter 3:16, we see the word believe over and over. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes," there you go, thank you, church, "whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's an amazing, probably one of the most popular verses in the Bible. And verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him," through the son. Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only son." So these verses right here, this is more than, do you believe Christopher Columbus existed? I mean, this is more than, like, will the Broncos make the playoffs, or do you believe in whatever? I don't know. It's way more than that. It's this idea of, go back to verse 16, Ezra. It's this idea of, "For God so loved the world that gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, rely on, adhere to, trust in, depend on, whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life." It's this verse that says, Jesus is more. Jesus is more than anything you could imagine. You will never discover anyone like Jesus. Nobody can satisfy your life like Jesus. He is the living water. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will never walk out on you. He's a Savior that will never forsake you or abandon you or depart from you. He is a good God, and he loves you, and he cares about you. And he is the center of your life. He's everything. I'm standing up here right now because Jesus met with me in my bedroom when I was 18 years old. I didn't go to church. I didn't go to church because I looked at the people who went to church and I partied with them on the weekends. And I thought, hypocrites. Why do I want to do that? But then I met Jesus, the living one, and he changed my life completely. Hear this, believing is the pivotal point that defines you as a Christian. We're going to go deep a little bit today, guys. Is that cool? When you look at the disciples and you saw the crazy, outrageous things that they did, standing before others and proclaiming and preaching and doing all this crazy stuff, it all came from this belief that they had inside of them. And they all had this in common. Now, you need to understand this as well. The enemy wants to attack what you believe in. Bible says the enemy is the author of confusion, not of peace. Romans chapter 10 says it like this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. That you are saved. When you look at the early church and you think, well, what did they believe? One of the earliest places that you see, it's known as the Pauline Creed, Pauline Creed. And you see this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's just the beliefs of the apostles all put into one paragraph. And here's what they believed. Verse 1, now brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth. I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you. Gospel means good news, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. So he's saying you didn't just hear it, but you received it, and you're like standing on it as well. You're taking your stand. By this gospel, you are what church you are. Now he's talking spiritual talk right here. This is spiritual talk. He's saying, you know what? You were on this road. You were far from God. You were lost as a goat. You were headed to hell. You were living in this dark place. But now, because of Jesus, you have been found. And now you know salvation. And now you've experienced the grace and mercy of God. So you have been spiritually saved. By this gospel, you were spiritually saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise, you believed in vain. So Paul is saying it's not only hearing, but it's receiving, and it's standing, and it's holding. You hear that? It's all of that. And this is their beliefs. Then he says, verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So Paul is saying he's not the author of this. It didn't originate with him. He heard it. He received it. It's like a baton and track. And now he's passing it on to you. That's all he's saying. So here's what he says. Here's what he passed on to you. I passed on to you. That Christ died for our sins. Oh, let's go back to verse 3, brother. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's the first thing he says. That's a belief. Do you see that? There's a core belief. This is a sword they're going to fall on. And Christians, this is a sword you fall on, that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. He went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He was the Lamb of God, and he shed his blood for us, and the weight of the sins of the world, mine and yours, was on him, spiritually speaking. There needed to be a sacrifice because all the way back in Genesis, our spiritual parents, Adam and Eve, messed up. And Adam said, the woman you gave me. And he blames her and blames God a little bit. And that sin came into the world, and sin entered the world. And all of us have been born as sinners, and we do things we know are not pleasing to God, but it's just natural, and it's like gravity. And here, Paul the Apostle is making it clear that Jesus Christ is the answer, and he died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is what he believes. Verse 4, and that he was buried. You know what that means? He was dead. They wholeheartedly believed, nope, there was no pulse. There was no pulse. He died, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the disciples had this belief inside of them that, okay, we believe that the gospel brings salvation to everybody, and we believe Jesus did live, and he went to a cross for our sins, and he was there for my sins and your sins, and then he was dead. He died, literally died, and on the third day, he was raised to life. We just believe that. And then verse 5 says this, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. He's talking about the road to Damascus. So, do you see the beliefs of the disciples? What you believe is everything. What you believe is everything. Everyone functions out of their theology, for better or for worse. The disciples had this core belief. He existed, he lived, he went to the cross, he died, he rose from the grave, and check it out, more than 500 people hung out with him. I ate fish tacos with him. I talked to him. We hung out. We went to the lake together. I hung out with him at that house. I know he's alive. And that very belief that they had inside of them propelled them to live for the gospel, for the purpose of God, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. Everything else became secondary in their life. Have you ever believed something that just gets a hold of you and nothing else matters? That's what happened. Here's what I want you to hear. The gospel, and it's good news, is designed to give you a new belief system. You will build your life around it. You make your decisions around it. You manage your relationships around it. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a life changer. It's a game changer. You used to be living one way, but now that you've come to know Jesus Christ and recognize and embrace the love of God, all of a sudden, all your decisions, your career decisions, everything you do is built around Jesus. Everything you do is built around pleasing God. Everything you say, I mean, that's the way they lived. Their belief was so strong, it affected what jobs they take or didn't take and how they managed their days. Aristodides, this is not found in this Bible, but it's a great document of history. In the year 125 AD, he described the disciples and their beliefs. In the year 125 AD, he was writing an apology to this Roman emperor named Herodian. And here's what Aristodides said. The Christians then trace the beginning of their religion from Jesus the Messiah, and he is named the Son of God Most High. And it is said that God came down from heaven, and from a Hebrew virgin assumed and clothed himself with flesh, and the Son of God lived in a daughter of man. Isn't that cool? This is taught in the gospel, as it is called, which a short time was preached among them, and you also, if you will read therein, may perceive the power which belongs to it. This Jesus, then, was born of the race of the Hebrews, and he had 12 disciples in order that the purpose of his incarnation might in time be accomplished. But he himself was pierced by the Jews, and he died and was buried. And they say that after 3 days, he rose and ascended to heaven. Aristodides, 125 AD. Isn't that cool? This is like the best rumor that hasn't stopped, that keeps going on every generation. It's like the best rumor. You're reading something. When you open up scripture, you're reading something that has literally been tested and has passed on for generations, 2,000 years, and it's going to outlive you. It's going to outlive me. And that's what this is. So the disciples, they understood their belief so much, and they wrapped their arms around. They'll say, okay, this is what fuels us to do the crazy things. This is what fuels us to live for God. These beliefs, they're so strong in them. And they're willing to live for them. But they also say, hey, you got to be careful, because not everything that's said is true. Don't you know that? Not everything that's said, not every advice that's given to you is true, right? Not every preacher, what they preach is true. And check it out, Romans chapter 16, Paul says this, and now I make one more appeal. My dear brothers and sisters, watch out. Say watch out with me, watch out. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Then what does it say? Stay away from them. Wow. See, the apostles, gosh, they turned the world upside down. Craziness. But it was driven by this belief that they had inside of them. For God so loved the world. They had this belief that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he went to the cross, and he died, and he resurrected. And they had this core belief, even in the Holy Spirit, because they experienced the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And so much so that they recognized there were theological threats out there. Just because someone has an opinion doesn't mean it's right. Just because someone is teaching doesn't mean it's true. And they recognize that these people, you got to watch out, because what they teach can cause division. It can cause division. That advice, that preacher, they can cause division. Hear this, believing the wrong things can drive you to make the wrong decisions. God doesn't care about the way I have this relationship, it's okay. God doesn't care about the way I handle myself at work, it's okay. God doesn't care about the words that I say out of my mouth. God doesn't care about the way I treat my woman. God doesn't care about the way I treat my man. God doesn't care about a little bit of lying. God doesn't care about a little bit of stealing. God doesn't care about me looking at my phone and looking at this stuff. God doesn't care. We can act out based on our beliefs. So you got to be careful about your beliefs. And the apostles understood it's really, really crucial what you believe. In fact, in Galatians, Paul says this, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preached to you. I say again that we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? Do you see their passion and how they are guarding against any theological lies? And they recognize, no. This is truth. And everything else is an enemy. Hear this. The best lies have a little bit of truth. Have you discovered that? You're like, okay, I know you're saying some truth, but I know there's a little bit of lie in there. The best lies are like that. It's mostly true. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So even when he was with the disciples, he was telling them, not everything is said that's said is true. Not every opinion you hear is good. Not everything you hear teaching is good and true. You have to know what's truth and what's a lie. You have to build your life on these truths about who God is, about who, and just like the disciples, that's what they did. When I was, there's a great theologian that, a great theologian said this, theology is like underwear. If it has holes, throw it out. I was riding with Pastor Nick. He's our worship pastor. He's the guy, and Pastor Jeremy, we were going somewhere together. And I start working on the message early on, and I'm like, you know, marinating in the message. And I asked him, hey, do you have any good quotes related to theology? And this was Pastor Nick's quote. I thought, well, that's a good quote. It tells me he's always wearing clean underwear too, so that's a good thing. Because you never know what will happen, right? You never know what will happen. How do you know what's good? Like, how do you know if it's good theology? You're sitting here at church. You know what? How do you know what I'm saying is true? It may not be. How do you know the advice you're getting from that friend, from that coworker, from that neighbor, from that mentor, how do you know it's good advice? I'm going to give you three ways to know if it's good. Because, guys, this is preparing you for life. We're building oak trees today, guys, because you're going to go through some hard stuff in life. This is, your belief system will carry you. It will carry you through everything. So here's how you know if the teaching is good. Number one, it's focused on Jesus Christ. It's focused on Jesus Christ. There is no name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. Say Jesus out loud with me. Say Jesus. Did you feel that? There's no name greater than the name of Jesus. Here's what the apostle said. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Have you ever heard someone say something like, God told me to do this, or God released me to do this, or, and then you're wondering, really? That doesn't sound like the God I know. Verse 2, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. You got to remember one of their beliefs. They believed wholeheartedly in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over 500 people saw him. Verse 3, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has a spirit of the Antichrist, Book of Revelation, which you've heard is coming into the world and is, and indeed is already here. So you got it good. It's got to be focused on Jesus. It's got to be focused on Jesus. When you hear advice, good advice, advice from heaven, it's focused on Jesus Christ. Here's number two. Here's a way you know if it's good theology. It's grounded in Scripture. You can find it. It's grounded in Scripture. Acts chapter 17 says, that very night the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And all the people of Berea were open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So when they heard a message, and you should do this when you hear Pastor Reuben, I'm not sure if what he's saying is true. Open up your Bible and look at the Bible. Read about it. Read about it. The Word of God. There's nothing more powerful. This is for someone who wants to live a good life. This is for someone who wants to know what truth is. Because you hear a lot of mess. There's a lot of chatter out there, guys. This is what good theology looks like. And it's the Word of God, and it's not cherry picking, but it's actually looking at the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible, all of it, and not just pulling out one verse. It's looking at the entire Word of God. 2 Timothy says it like this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's no book more powerful that you can look at than the Word of God. There's no post. There's no reel. There's no video that you can look at that can substitute the Word of God in your life. You spend time with God's Word. Get to know the Word of God. Find a place to read the Word of God. Wherever it is, get to know the Word of God. You got to understand this is the truth for your life. Let me tell you what this Word, this Bible says about you. You know what the Bible says about you? God saw you when you were in your mother's womb. And he made you, intricately made you and designed you while you were in your mother's womb. He loved you and he saw you and he still loves you. You know what the Bible says? Your days have been ordained by God. The Bible says that he knows the desires of your heart. He knows your fears. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He sees you from a distance. The Bible says that he has good thoughts towards you that outnumber the grains of sand. Oh, when I read that out of Psalm 139, I put a jar of sand in my office to remind me of God's love for me. Thank you, Jesus. I just need to be reminded. You know what the Bible says about you? God has a purpose for you, and you are breathing right now because he has a purpose for you. The Bible says there's nothing you're facing in life that's too difficult for God to handle. The Bible says he hears your prayers, and he desires to have a relationship with you. The Bible also says you have an enemy, the devil. Jesus came to bring life, abundant life, but the enemy, the devil, has come to destroy and to divide and to bring chaos and confusion. You just need to understand the Bible says that you're more than a conqueror. The Bible says greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. The Bible says if you wait on the Lord, he will answer you. The Bible says if you humble yourself and seek him with all of your face, you'll find him. The Bible says if you repent of your sins, and some of you need to do that, you turn to him and you're not playing anymore and it's for reals, and you repent of your sins and you turn to him, it pleases God, it touches his heart, it arouses his heart, and he responds with love and grace and mercy. The Bible says nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. God has a purpose for you. That's what the Bible says. Hear this. In your life, you got to hear this. In your life, you will have problems, trials, suffering, hurt, and pain. You'll be tempted to walk away and give up. And the only anchor you will have is God's word. We're getting strong today, this weekend, church. I was talking to someone last night after our Saturday night service, and this woman who's been coming to church, and she told me, when I started coming here, ever since I've been here, and she's been here just months, she said, life has gotten hard. And sometimes we think, oh, I'll go to church and life will get easy. Sometimes, though, it's not the case. You start turning to God, and you start putting God first, and you start attending church. Some of you are nodding your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, life gets hard. And you know what I told her? It's just a season. You know what God's teaching? This is what I told her. God's teaching you endurance and perseverance. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm talking to Ochis. Because there's going to be things that happen in your life that's going to make you want to walk away. I got hurt by that guy. I thought he was a good guy. I got hurt by my friend. I thought she had my back. She didn't. I got hurt by that Christian. I got hurt by that pastor. I got hurt by that church. I got hurt by, you know what? I'm not sure anymore. Or things happen in your life like, how could I lose my job? Why would I go through this breakup? Why would a loving God allow this to happen? And in that moment, you have a choice. You could become angry and bitter and be full of hate. Or you can say, you know what? I know what God's word says, and it's true, and it's who he is, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to ride out this storm. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to hold on because I know my God is a loving God. Now, many times I feel like the devil has told me, Reuben, just walk away. Oh, my goodness. I would not be standing up here if God didn't call me to up here. I'd rather be sitting down in the chairs right there with you guys. I'm just telling you. But the Lord called me to do this. I always tell people I have no life, but I have an amazing life. That's what it feels like. But even this jersey, my son and I, we went to go see a Yankees game in New York, and I got it there at the Yankee Stadium. He knows I'm a big Yankee fan, and he bought it for me, he and his wife. But in New York, I was at Brooklyn Tabernacle in 2012, and I was broken. My spirit was broken. In the church, Christian, doing all the right things, and I was worn out. listen, there's going to be things that are going to happen to you in your life that are not going to make sense. You're going to be tempted to walk away from God, walk away from church, walk away from your faith. And I want to tell you, you got to hold on to the Word of God, because there's nothing more stable in your life than the Word of God. He's a God that has promises for you. He's a God who has a future for you. He's a God who loves you, and he has a purpose for you. Here's the number three. Here's the third way you know if the preaching is good or if the advice is good. You got to hear this, because I know sometimes we listen to advice from the wrong people. Here's number three. It promotes living a holy life. Focus is on Jesus. It's grounded in Scripture. And it promotes living a holy life. Paul said this to Timothy, "Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ." These teachings promote a, what kind of life? A godly life. That's another way of saying a holy life. God is holy. A righteous life. And Paul the Apostle is telling young Timothy, this is one of the last letters Paul wrote in the New Testament. He's telling him, hey, you know what? Good advice promotes a holy life. And all these teachings promote a holy life. Anyone who teaches something different is what? Is arrogant and lacks understanding. Wow. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. Division is part of it. Jesus said in another place, a house divided against itself will not stand. A church divided against itself will not stand. You can look at that and apply that to a team, to an organization, whatever. And here, Paul is saying, hey, you know what? It starts with beliefs. It starts with the teaching, and it starts with what you listen to and what you hold on to. And somebody can be speaking out of the wrong spirit. They can call themselves a good person, a Christian. They can recycle whatever it is. They can eat keto. I don't care. But if they're not right with God, if they're not grounded in Scripture, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of their life, and if they're teaching something that is not supporting a life of holiness, it's wrong. We have the ability to do this. You need to hear this. You need the Holy Spirit to help you understand spiritual truths. You need the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual truths. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Even now, you know, on Friday when we worshiped hard and it was just a lot of fun, but I see our churches learning and getting deeper in life with the Spirit of God. And we're learning what it means to walk with God. Our beliefs are crucial. Our beliefs are everything, because this is what we're going to die for right here, right, guys? In fact, when people visit churches, do you know beliefs is one of the things they look for? If you're a Christian, you come and you visit a church, you're like, okay, what do they believe? What do they believe? That's important. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will speak to you and reveal truth to you. Not everything you say to yourself is true. What the Holy Spirit says to you is true. And he many times will use the Word of God to speak to you. If you have an open mind and an open heart, and the Spirit of God will give you a word, and it's like it just jumps off the page. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to read the Bible and how to have a relationship with God, and he will teach you what that looks like, and you will be able to decipher truth when you do that. Here's the warning. It's possible to read the Bible for personal validation instead of personal transformation. You can have an opinion about something, and all you do is you look to the Bible because you need validation for the reason why you don't, why you do, why you live, whatever it is. You can look at the Bible and say, I just need validation. But the Bible is there for you to be transformed. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts and renews our mind. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, God's not done with you yet. Can you do that? Just tell them, God's not done. Don't tell them you don't have it all together. And tell them you're not perfect. I'm going to start an argument right now here, church. Well, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect either. Oh, my goodness. He's still transforming you. I'm still being transformed. If you've arrived, tell me how you got there, because I'm not there yet. Tell me how you got there, because I'm not there yet. If you feel that highly of yourself, tell me how you got there. One of the lies of the devil is there's nothing wrong with you. One of the lies of the devil is you're all right. One of the lies of the devil is you don't have to change anything. One of the lies of the devil is this is just who you are. Whew. That's a lie from the devil. You have a hot temper. You lust, you have an addiction, you're angry. How many times have you heard someone say, this is just who I am? You know what I want to say? I'll take the next exit. I don't want that. God has a purpose for you. One of the liberating thoughts that the Lord gave me, I say thoughts, I should say words. One of the liberating words the Lord gave me, it was probably about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. Here I am leading the church and we're growing by the grace of God. But I'll never forget this word that the Lord gave me. When you're a pastor, and I bet you know what I'm talking about, you work on projects, right? In my case, I'm like, okay, Lord, this is the project. I'm trying to build this church and I want to make it healthy and I need you. God, what do I need to do, God? What do you want me to do? I mean, it's this kind of thing, and you're working on the project, like you're sitting on a table and you're working on a project on the desk kind of thing. And you know what the Lord told me one day? He said, Reuben, the church is not the project. You're the project. Totally changed everything for me. And I realized, oh, I gotta let the Holy Spirit work on me first. It's like when you have a problem with someone else, maybe your prayers are, God, would you just change him? Life would be a lot easier. Would you just change her? Life would be a whole lot. Would you just change my work situation? If I had more money, just give me more money. Give me a car that turns on when I need it to turn on. If you just do that, just take care of all those things in my, you're the project. You're the project. God is teaching you to depend on him and rely on him. Hear this. You need the Holy Spirit to read the Bible. Otherwise, you will interpret it based on your personal preferences, fears, prejudices, or biases. It's just our sinful nature. We're pretty self-centered. Pride is something that can creep up into all of our hearts. Arrogance, feeling superior. I find it interesting that the Pharisees, you know, they were pretty superior people. And they knew the Bible the most. The Pharisees, they were spiritual hypocrites, but you know what? They didn't need another Bible study. They didn't need another Sunday school class. They just needed to humble themselves and die to themselves and trust Jesus. What did the early church believe? I grew up Roman Catholic. Anybody else grew up like a Catholic? I was not, maybe you're a better Catholic than me. I was not a really good Catholic. I used to steal the communion bread during recess, but that's another story. But anyway, I remember, I'm so good. But Lord, forgive me. I'm even confessing it now. I don't think I've ever told the church that before. Oh, Lord. There's something known as the Apostles' Creed. Have you heard it? The Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed reflects the beliefs of the apostles. That's why it's called the Apostles' Creed. But did you know it really was not written until 150 years after the apostles died? So it's meant to reflect the Apostles' Creed. But there was a document that was written in the year 150 AD. And this document in the second and third century reflected the apostles more accurately than even the Apostles' Creed. In fact, this creed was the first, and the Apostles' Creed was formatted and edited based on this creed. So I'm going to tell you this creed. It's called the Old Roman Creed. It's version 1.0. The Apostles' Creed is version 2.0. So here's what version 1.0 said. This was during the days. And it was said that they would say this before they would get baptized. Oh, we're doing baptisms in a few weeks, guys. I hope you jump in. Oh, here's what it says. And I want to read it out loud. It first says this. I believe, let's read it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I know it sounds a little familiar. Version 1.0. There was this belief that I believe in the God of creation, the God of the galaxies, the God of the stars, the God of the heavens. I believe in the God of the mountains, the creator of all. I believe that there's nobody like him. He is the Almighty God. There's one God, not multiple gods. There's one God. It's manifested in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Almighty. And then he goes on. Let's keep reading. And in Christ Jesus, come on, his only Son, our Lord, keep going, who was born of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate and was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. You feel that? These are swords that we're going to fall on. This is what the apostles believed. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Lord. There was a virgin birth. He was crucified. He did die. He was buried, but he rose again from the grave. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. The old Roman Creed. This belief that Jesus didn't just stay on earth. After about 500 people or so saw him, he actually was lifted and he ascended into heaven. And he's seated right now at the hand of the Father, at the right hand of the Father. And one day the Bible says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every person will come before Jesus and he will judge the living and the dead. And then here's the last part. Say it out loud. And in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, life everlasting. There it is. You just said exactly what the apostles believed early on. This creed that you just recited is what propelled the early church to even die for their faith. This creed. Paul the Apostle, he said this, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Look at this, verse 3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. You know what that's like? You live a certain way. You don't do, you do. Whatever it is. And you know what? It's not hard to find someone that agrees with you, with your life. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what Paul is saying. He said they're going to look for someone who will agree with whatever their itching ears want to hear. Whatever their itching ears. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. He's saying, but you got to keep a clear mind. We're building oak trees today, guys. You're going to go through stuff in life that's going to be hard. This message is going to make Thorn Creek Church stronger. Going to make Thorn Creek Church stronger. I like what John Tyson said. He's a pastor out of New York, ironically. He said this, the early church believed in the theology that cannot be dismissed and power that cannot be denied. Here in this church, Here's what I want to vow to you. We're going to have good theology in this church. We're going to make sure it's standing on the Word of God. We're going to make sure that it's focused on Jesus. We're going to make sure it promotes a holy life, a godly life. That's what you could expect in this church. I hope you're cool with that. And also, we're going to experience and live out the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. We're going to do both. Hallelujah. We're going to do both. We got to do both. That's the message. That's the whole life. We're going to do both. It's about good theology and it's about life in the Spirit. It's both. Making sure that we're strong. Because, you know, emotions go up and down, right? We can go up and down, but the Word of God stays forever, remains forever. The Word of God never returns void is what Scripture says. The Word of God is the foundation for everything. And our belief system, the things that we're willing to fall on, those are the things that propel us to share our faith. Those are the things that propel us to paint a house, to serve, to do whatever God wants us to do. But we have this in common, that we believe in this living God. And we believe in Jesus Christ. And we believe in living a righteous life, a holy life, all these things. See, here at Thorn Creek, that's where we're going. That's where this train is going. I hope you jump on it because there's a life that God has for you, a purpose that God has for you. You got to kick the devil in the teeth, guys, if you're going to live. God has a purpose for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Here's our next step, guys. We've been doing next steps every single week here. And our next step this week, actually is going to start on Sunday, we're presenting a new discipleship class. It's only 6 weeks long. And it's going to be taught by Pastor Jeremy. It's called Next. We've had, I believe it's 102 people stand up to receive Jesus Christ since June. It's been amazing. Hallelujah. Maybe July. We've had 101. So if you're one that has stood up to receive Jesus, and you're just starting off on your walk with God, learning what it means to be a Christian, this class is for you. It's going to take place on Sunday at 9 a.m. in the connection room right down the hall. Okay? Right down the hall. That's where it's happening. So if you want to just brush up on, you know, Christianity 101, then go to that class. It's going to be a good thing. Let me just give you a heads up. We're also working on another level of discipleship class for those people who've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Want to help you get stronger. So we're doing both. We're trying to be the church, guys. We're trying to be the church. We're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's coming down the road. But I want to let you know about Next. It starts next Sunday. And also, don't forget about our Zoom prayer meetings. That's amazing. Did you know last Tuesday, we had 43 people join us on Tuesday morning at 6:30 in the morning. Isn't that crazy? You can go to our website and check us out. So here's how I want to close the service, guys. At Thorn Creek Church, we're going to be committed to good theology and life in the Spirit. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do both. That's important. So, but I want to give you an opportunity to turn to Jesus. I've been doing this every single weekend and all the way through from July, and we've had so many people stand up. But I'm going to ask two invites. Here's the first invite. If you would like to give your life over to Jesus Christ and you would become a Christian and you recognize today that you need Jesus in your life, would you stand up really quickly, and I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. If you want to give your life over to Jesus, stand up really quickly. We have someone in the back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You want to give your life? Thank you for standing up. All right, here's the next task. Stay standing up. I'm going to pray for you in a little bit. Oh, is there somebody else? Somebody? Oh, sweetheart. Good job. Good job. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Thank you. Look at this girl. Oh, boy. May the Lord bless her faith. That's so sweet. Anybody else? Thank you for helping me out. Sometimes people stand up and I don't always see them. Here's the next ask. Today, you want the Holy Spirit to fill you. And you're going to hold on to these beliefs that we read about in the early church. And you're going to make sure you're focused on Jesus. You're going to make sure your life is rooted in God's Word. And you're going to strive to live a holy life with the help of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, would you stand up? Would you stand up? If you stood up to receive Jesus, you can say this prayer. Say, Jesus, today I turn to you. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I want to live for you, Jesus. So right now, as best as I know how, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Take a hold of my life and teach me how to walk with you. I give you my life. Others of you who stood up, you need to say this. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, I pray for all those who are standing. We are going to focus on you, Jesus, and we're going to be rooted in your word, God. And we're going to strive to live a holy life with the help of your Holy Spirit. Continue to build this church. Continue to shape us and use our beliefs to do great and mighty things for your kingdom. May we hold on to them even when there's storms and even when it's hard and even when we've been hurt and all that stuff happens in life. Help us to hold on to our faith. Help us to double down on our faith at times when we need to do that. In Jesus' name, I pray all of this. Amen. Let's put our hands. Praise God.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.